current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. According to statistics from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States and in Michigan. What are the signs that someone's thinking about suicide, and how can we prevent it? Current State's Brooke Allen talks with the area director of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and a local woman about her struggle with depression and her own personal loss involving suicide.
Some people call it an unrecognized health epidemic. Suicide does not discriminate between students, women, veterans, hard workers, or the unemployed. Everyone has a story. Vicki Paulson is somebody's sister, daughter, and fiance who has been affected by suicide in more than one way.
I have struggled personally with severe depression and anxiety since I was about 16 years old. It was never life-threatening until about a year and a half ago. I just couldn't cope anymore with my life changes, and I ended up being hospitalized for being suicidal. I was inpatient for about 3 days, and then I did an outpatient program for about 2 weeks. I am currently in recovery, but it was a long struggle. I still struggle. There are good days and bad days, but I have learned not to be ashamed of my story. I don't whisper it. I don't hide behind it. I talk about it to anybody that's willing to listen. On the other side, I am also a suicide loss survivor. That means I have lost someone to suicide. For me, I lost my dad December 22nd, 2010. He had a long struggle with PTSD, depression, and chronic pain. So we knew that he was struggling. He tried to get help. Ultimately, the disease won, and he passed away. But from that, I have learned not to be ashamed, not to hide behind our stories. By telling our stories, we can help others around us.
Steve Windham is the Michigan Area Director for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and says the statistics are alarming.
1 in 3 people will be affected by suicide in their lifetime, to where someone they know will have that happen in their family, or they might know someone who dies by suicide. 7 in about 14 is the most likely time that mental illness sets in between young kids, and then between 22 and 27 in young adults as well, in major times of life as they change through those life patterns and such. And so, you know, it's an alarming thing, and the rate keeps climbing. You know, there's lots that we can do to bring those statistics down, but we just have to get the awareness out there and get talking about it.
You said as young as 7.
That's when mental illness is most greatest to set in or to be diagnosed.
Okay, so 7 years old, mental illness setting in, and I know that there's a huge stigma associated, of course, with mental illness.
Yeah.
So can you address that a little bit for me?
Yeah, you know, we're still seeing it not viewed as a health epidemic or a health issue. It's seen as something that is wrong with a person, or that there's something that, you know, you choose to have. This is just a disease as cancer or heart disease or diabetes is. You can't choose when you have a mental illness or personality disorder, you know. There's nothing that's wrong with you when you have it. It is completely manageable, and it's, you're able to overcome it. Just as any cancer survivor should be celebrated for defeating their cancer, any mental illness patient or someone with personality disorder should be congratulated for facing their demons and having the strength to say, I need some help with this. Just because if someone had a heart attack on the floor, you wouldn't tell them to just, oh, eat better and, you know, live a healthier lifestyle. Like someone says to a mental illness patient, oh, just be happy. You know, there's just be happy, just get over it. Well, there's something that you have to understand is that the brain is not wired that way. It's how it grew. It's how it started. There's nothing wrong with that person. You didn't choose to be that way, but you have to be able to address it. And there are many people who live fully functional lifestyles, and they're, you know, contributing people in the community. And it's not a weakness. It's just as, you know, a heart attack victim has to manage their diet, or a diabetes person has to manage their blood sugar, a mental illness person has to just manage their mental illness, and they can be perfectly safe with that.
And sometimes I think, too, there can be an event that may trigger a depression.
Yeah, it's noticing signs. So it's noticing a change in yourself, whether it's you're withdrawing from family and friends and things that you used to enjoy, or that your coping mechanisms have changed drastically and you're using illicit drugs or alcohol to cope with life, or that you wake up feeling like there's really no light at the end of the tunnel. You have to notice something. And so, you know, we invite everyone to take action with their loved ones and their family and friends and be persistent and come at it with a very loving tone, just that, hey, is everything okay? And it's okay to talk about it. And understanding that to really help someone, you have to get them to someone who can help them, a clinician, someone who is licensed to help deal with and diagnose if there is a mental illness, or if they're just going through a rough patch, they can talk about it and move on.
Steve says asking for help is not a sign of weakness.
It takes more courage to stand up and to diagnose it and deal with it and, you know, be a champion and a survivor of whatever's going through and whatever you're going through, because it ranges from so many different things, from PTSD to manic depression to personality disorders with schizophrenia. And so everything is so wide with the spectrum of what is going on. And so that's why, you know, just as if somebody was having a heart attack at a, you know, we wouldn't tell them just to eat healthy and do better. You get them to someone who would save their life. You would get an ambulance there. You have a doctor come see them right then, stop the heart attack. If someone is in crisis, or if they're looming towards crisis, you have to get them to someone that can help them. We tell a lot of our volunteers, because a lot of our volunteers deal with mental illness in their family or personality disorders through their loved ones, or they have been a lost survivor where they've lost a person to suicide and they need to maintain their own mental health as well. But we tell them, like, stay in your lane. And it's great to start the conversation. It's great to empower that person and to challenge them to get the help. But you have to get them to someone who can help them. You can't just be a friend and think you can cure someone's depression or illness.
Or
change them.
Because suicide is not about being changed or changing your thoughts. It's about getting the help.
Suicide is what happens when a person's coping mechanisms fail in life. Everything else seems like it's over with, and the only way to relieve the pain and suffering or whatever they're going through is suicide. It is the final piece that the brain really isn't thinking correctly. People try and rationalize what someone was thinking when they took their life by suicide. There's no way to really understand that, because your brain is wired differently at that point. There's fact-based evidence that shows the brain operating and connecting synapses differently when someone is dealing with depression and someone who's healed and, you know, through recovery. It's amazing to the science and research that we've been doing the last couple of years and decades that have really shown light onto what causes this and how do we prevent it, because it is through talks and it is through noticing change and challenging that person to receive the help they need and not just try and bear the burden on their own.
Vicky says asking for help is not always easy.
Personally, it took a little bit of time for me to say that I needed help. Luckily, I had family members that knew the signs. They saw me withdrawing from the things that I loved. They saw me abusing alcohol. They read my blog posts, saw the dark sadness type writings, and they asked me. They directly asked me, are you suicidal?
And were you honest with your response?
I was. And as someone that has reached out to people, I have asked directly, are you suicidal, to people? And I've gotten honest responses. And based on that response, I can say, all right, do you have a plan? If they have a plan, they are in crisis and they need to be seen by a professional as soon as possible, whether that means calling 911, driving them to an emergency department, getting them on the phone with the crisis line, calling their family physician. Those are all ways to get that person help.
Recently, news surfaced that Northern Michigan University not only discouraged students from talking about suicidal thoughts, but prohibited them from talking about, quote, self-destructive thoughts or actions, end quote. Steve says people need to feel safe to share their feelings.
The myth about, you know, speaking about suicide will eventually lead to suicide, that's as simple as, you know, thinking that in the old days teaching abstinence was going to keep kids from getting pregnant, and that was debunked very fast. You know, we have to, you know, it's like teaching that DARE caused kids to do more drugs. Mm-hmm. That's irrelevant and unrealistic. Same thing about suicide. And the conversation isn't, you know, how not to kill yourself. It is how to help others that are in crisis, or how to help those when they have a change in their life, or when they might be suffering from a mental illness or just a rough patch, or how to help yourself when you're feeling that way. It's about the conversation that we don't ever want to get to suicide. So we're not talking about, here's the 12 ways to kill yourself. You know, no, it's about, you know, because like we don't talk about how to cook heroin to students in DARE. We talk about what to do when you're faced with that problem. Here's the right mm-hmm. decision to make. Here is the valid thing to do. Here is the heroic thing to do. It is get someone help. Get them to someone that can get them the help they need. Have the conversation. Ask the tough question. Have you thought about killing yourself?
Vicky says if you're struggling right now,
reach out. Don't keep it in. You know, if I wouldn't have been asked, if someone wouldn't have came up and asked me, are you suicidal? I don't know if I would have gotten help. You know, if my family wouldn't have known the signs, if my fiance wouldn't have drove me to the emergency department, I don't know what would have happened. But now I know that when I'm struggling, I tell my family. I say, hey, you know what? Not doing so hot the past couple weeks. Just so you know, I'm not doing so well. And call my therapist, get in to see her. And, you know, just reaching out has helped me a lot now that I'm past that point. But it took someone asking me, are you suicidal, to get to that point.
That is Vicki Paulson. She is the Lansing coordinator for the Out of the Darkness Walks and the Survivor of Suicide. Steve Windham is the Michigan Area Director for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If you need help, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or text the Crisis text line at 741-741 or reach out to crisischat.org. For Current State, I'm Brooke Allen.